Good morning. Today, we're going to look at a lesson that I've titled Silence, Sirens, and Stairs. And many of you right now kind of have the look on your face as the character on the screen. You know, what in the world is he going to be talking about? I don't know how many of you were able to pick up an outline in the foyer on your way in. You can follow along, and you will be having an assignment this week or today, whichever, if you can finish it during class, great. If not, you got homework. So the teacher in me coming out. The main point of the lesson is we never know what each other are going through. You know, we generally come in with a smile on our face, glad to be here, extend hands, hugs, and on the surface, things may appear just fine. But with our brothers and sisters, we never know the battles, the struggles, the fears, the just getting here to the building may be a major accomplishment. Amen. For whatever reason, emotional, physical, spiritual, just getting here. One of the things that kind of go along with the title, sometimes we encounter people in silence. Sometimes there are some people, whether they're talking or not, there may be a silence about them. But somebody may be very quiet, not responding a lot to what's going on around them. Maybe not even responding to you. It sometimes comes off as ignoring or being standoffish, uppity. You know what? I said hi to them and they just sat there. They become the topic of the drive home, the topic at lunch. You know, I said hi to so-and-so, and they didn't even, they just sat there. Their mind may be a million miles away. They may not even have heard the words. You might have been 1 foot in front of them. They may not even have heard you because their mind is on something else. They may be doing everything they can to keep from breaking down in tears. Kurt's case, he might just not have heard you. Or Barbara. They may be dealing with a crisis in their life they have no idea how to face. They may not even have an idea of what words to go to God with in prayer. It might just be, God, help me. They could be dealing with a severe health or a financial issue. May have no idea how to make ends meet financially. I'm sure none of us have ever faced any financial problems. I'm sure none of us, it's been just smooth sailing in our lives. Every day. Sirens. You know, a lot of times our first thoughts is we hear a siren coming and it just annoys us. Kurt's driving down the street to stop a crime and you know, it's just annoying until we start thinking about it. We've got to pull up. Doesn't that ambulance, doesn't that policeman, doesn't the fire truck know I've got things to do? And then there's those people that are racing the police cars or the ambulance to get through the light in time to where they're on the other side of the green light before they pull over. Slows up traffic and so forth. I really appreciate a lot of Dick's prayers include our first responders. Even though sirens sometimes are an inconvenience for us, we got to pull over, there's a wreck up ahead, we're having to combine down into one lane. What are they going through? What are the police? What are the firemen? What are the medical workers? What are the people they're going to help going through? Somebody's life is being extremely disrupted at that time. They may be suffering a heart attack. They may have been in a wreck. I remember when our son was born, Stacy had to have an emergency cesarean. And all of a sudden, the monitors and stuff are going wacky, and everybody is running in, looking at things, and the doctor is telling the nurses, you know, get her prepped for surgery, blah, 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 blah. And the nurses are kind of going through the regular, normal procedures, and the doctor is saying, no, right now. Don't go through the step. We got to do surgery now. And they're scurrying around, and all of a sudden, they're wheeling her out, and I'm left in the room all by myself. You talk about quiet. And I'm looking out the window, and I see all the cars driving by. Happy-go-lucky, going to work, going on a date, whatever they're doing. They have no idea what I was going through at that moment. And I had no idea what those cars were going through. A life, as that siren goes by us, that we're annoyed, there may be a life in the balance. That life may be one of our brothers or sisters. And most people are generally unaware of what is going on. And I'm very glad that when it's mentioned about our first responders, the police, the medical people, the firemen and so forth. And the last thing I'd like for us to look at are some of those empty stares that we see. You know what I'm talking about. Not only here, but at work, or maybe somebody in the neighborhood, maybe somebody in our own family. But I'm thinking mostly here. You see somebody sitting in the aisle, and they've just kind of got that faraway look on their face. They're here. Their backside's warming the chair. But they're not here. Their mind is a million miles away someplace else. From up here, it might appear that X, Y, or Z person's not even paying attention. So somebody might say, good morning, and they just sat there. They're were so rude. So rude. They were spoken to and they didn't even respond. Their mind could be thinking of a loved one who maybe they've maybe just experienced a death in the family. Or they're thinking about a loved one that's in hospice right now preparing to die. They may have lost a job. And they have absolutely no idea. How are we going to pay the rent at the end of the month? How are we going to make the car payment? They may be having a child that's addicted to drugs or is an alcoholic. Or last night, their spouse told them they want a divorce. Or maybe even worse than that, just left without saying anything. And we wonder, we said hi, and they didn't respond. Their mind might be a million miles away. We are brothers and sisters of each other. In Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, the Hebrew writer says, "And let us consider one another." Why? In order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you did not get an outline on your way in, on your way out, they are on the table in the foyer. These verses are on that. Mentions one another. Hebrews says, let us consider one another. Ourselves. One another. One, we're to consider. That means to think about. That means to put them first. That it's not about me. It's about the others. Let's think of one another. And when we do that, we exhort each other. We teach each other. We love each other. We forgive each other. We bear with each other. Sometimes it's tough enough to bear our own load. We're to bear each other's loads. Serve each other. I think of Jesus, that example he did, that he gave his disciples when he washed their feet. This is the Son of God. And he bends down, stoops down, and starts washing feet. That's the job of a servant. And Jesus knew that. What better example to give them to be a servant, to think of others, to pray for one another? Well, I don't need to be exhorted. I don't need anybody to teach me. I don't need any, I'm fine. I don't need love toward me or somebody to help me bear my problems. Everything's fine. I don't need any prayers. How about giving all those things to somebody else? You may be fine. Share it with somebody else. These scriptures we're going to look at, they are on the back side of the outline. Either follow along and do it today, or it might be a good little exercise for your study this week. And those of you, I tell you, those of you that have been sharing with me your studying, I love it. I've gotten letters, I've gotten cards, people have pulled me aside. updating me? Because I told you, I want to hear it. The study you're doing. And I appreciate it. But maybe this week, write down. I listed the scriptures. Maybe you can read the scriptures and write out what it is we're to do. All those scriptures are something we've got to do. We're commanded to do something. And that's your little homework assignment this week as a little study guide. In Romans 12:15, Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. A lot of times, just being there for somebody, giving them somebody to share their good news with, and let them share their good news. Don't turn it around to where it's about you. Is that familiar sometimes? You go to somebody with something, and it winds up being a conversation about them. Rejoice with those that are rejoicing. Let them have their moment of joy. And those that are weeping, it's not a contest. It's not a contest. Can you top their ailment? Can you top their malady that they're going through? It's their time. Sometimes just let them weep on your shoulder. Maybe weep with them. I'm a sucker for crying. I really am. Somebody's crying, I'll be joining you. You know, I won't even know what it's about. And I'm sobbing right along with you. Okay? But Paul tells us to share their lives. Hebrews, if you don't know the people, and if you don't spend the time together, you're not going to know their lives. You're not going to know when they're rejoicing and to build them up in that or to be there for them when they're weeping if we're not together. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some. Some people stay away. We're told not to do that. Our scripture reading today, thank you, Terrence, for reading that. It was John 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's something we need to do, is love each other. And we're making a big proclamation to others when they see us do that. We're preaching a sermon to others by loving each other. And heaven forbid what the message is when others see us not loving each other. Because that message goes out loud and clear too. In Ephesians, Paul wrote, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And I don't mean this as a joke, but some people, it takes more long-suffering than others. Some people are easy to love, a joy to love. Paul included, with all lowliness, with all humbleness and gentleness. He didn't say slapping them upside the head. With long suffering, bear with one another. Put up with one another. Endure one another. It says in Romans, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible, sometimes it is not. Sometimes it is not. You're not going to get along with every single person. But if it's up to you, if you don't get along with somebody, don't let you be the problem. Some people are just porcupines. There's no cuddling them. They're not the cute little cuddly puppy. They're a porcupine. They're a scorpion that they're made to sting people. Some people are just scorpions by nature. You're not going to change it. But as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Ephesians 5:19, and we've been doing this. Kurt's been leading us today in some wonderful hymns. And not only have we been singing praises to God, but hopefully encouraging and building up each other through our singing. Paul says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're singing praises to God, but we're also having an effect on each other by praising God together. Amen. Together. James 5:16. James says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There are those of us that have prayed for each other regularly, and we have each other in our prayers. Some of us together have been praying for each other for years. For years. For the care and the concern. But you know what? It's hard to want to pray specifically for somebody that you don't know. It's hard to pray for somebody, or especially to open up those deeper parts of ourselves, to ask somebody to pray for the sin in your life. It's hard to trust somebody you don't know. That's why it's important for us to come together. Do you realize everything we do as a body can be done at home, sitting on your living room couch? We can take the Lord's Supper at home. We can sing praises to God at home. We can listen, we can read the Bible. We can you know, do everything we need to do except fellowship with each other. That's why it was so important. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The strength you get from that. What's one of the first things that people start struggling with as they start falling away? Attendance. They quit praying. They start doubting God. They don't start. You know, we had a lesson a few months ago am I my brother's keeper? And the short answer is yes. Confess your trespasses to one another. Not for it to be used emotional, spiritual blackmail against you, but confess your trespasses to each other so you can pray for one another, so you can strengthen one another, build each other up, and make each other better. Galatians 5:3, Paul wrote, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Not be served. You do wind up getting served, but that's not the whole point. The point is to serve one another. And in the process, it benefits you. Ephesians 4:32, "And be kind-hearted to one another." Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I guess there's a point where there's a limit of how much you forgive somebody. When you get to the point of equaling or surpassing how much God has forgiven you, I guess you can, I guess that's your limit. When you get to that point, you don't have to love and forgive anymore. But until you has loved and forgiven as God in Christ has forgiven us, we have to. Amen. If you get to that point of reaching and surpassing what God's done, then you can stop. Galatians 5:15. Paul gives a warning of if we don't do these things. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. That's the alternative. That if we're not loving and building each other up, we're biting and devouring and consuming each other. And what is the message from the outside world, see, when that happens? What's the message from inside the church when that's happening? Look at the discouragement that brings other Christians when they see Christians at their worst going at each other. Want to end with the verse that we read as the scripture reading. Jesus said, if you don't like this, I'm just reading the mail. Okay, I didn't write it. If you don't like it, take it up with Jesus. Okay? I'm just reading what he's given us. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We never know what other people may be going through. The silence, the sirens, the stares. But one thing we can do is be with each other. Amen. We are on a journey together. Hopefully we're all headed for the same place. Right. And let's help each other get there together. If you need to respond to the invitation's always open. If you need to answer the call of baptism, if you need to repent of sins, you are in a safe place to confess your sins to one another. And we will pray for you and encourage you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.